Evening. Certainly want to thank everyone for being out here this evening. Hope you all had a great afternoon. You may not be able to tell by looking at me, but when I was in elementary school, I was a really small kid. I mean, I was the one that you would think everyone would pick on, and the only reason they didn't is because I remembered words my dad told me. He said, "Son, go make friends that are bigger than you." He says, when you have friends that are bigger than you, you have protection. Not saying that I would get into anything where I would need protection, but I never forgot those words. He says, choose your friends wisely, because they may come in handy someday. The writer of James, which is James writes to his readers, and he says almost the same thing. In James 4, he says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Can't you hear him telling his readers, in a sense, choose your friends wisely? You can be a friend with the world and be an enemy of God. You can choose to take part in anything this world brings your way. You can choose to lust after women. You can choose to go out with your friends and to do ungodly things. You can choose to partake of any sin that you like. But know that when you do, you will be an enemy of God. And it goes without saying that when you choose God as your friend, all the blessings come with it. When you choose God as your friend, He will wrap you in His loving arms. Can you see James telling his writers this? And I think it's true today, just as it was back then. We can choose two ways. One, we can be friends with the world. And we can choose to go and take part in all the sins that are out there for us. And we know exactly what those sins are. Or we can choose to be a friend with God. But I'd like to suggest to you tonight that I think there's three different kinds of people. There's three different kinds of people when it comes to committing to God or making God your friend. The first one I'd like to look at are people who fully commit to the world. They fully commit to the world. When I think of fully committing to the world, I think of Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't you? Angels of the Lord came to Abraham. And they said, we're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They are sinful people. They are just bad people. They have gotten so far away from what God wants that we're just going to destroy the cities altogether. And Abraham says, well, wait a minute. What if I can find 50 people? And the angel said, we'll save it if you can find 50 righteous people. And Abraham said, well, what about 40 people? They said, we'll save it if you can find 40 righteous people. And he gets all the way down to 10 people. And he says, we'll save Sodom and Gomorrah if we can just find 10 people. But as we all know the story, they couldn't find 10 people. And Lot and his family were forced to leave the city because those people were fully committed to the world, fully committed to the sins that this world had to offer. And they couldn't find any righteous people. Even his wife, retreating from the city, knowing that God was bringing down fire and brimstone upon the city, had to look back. Because even she was committed to the world. And she didn't really want to leave. And there's people like that today. There's people like that all throughout this world. But luckily, there's also the people who fully commit themselves to God. We do have people that fully commit themselves to God. And again, when I think of examples of this, I think of Joseph. I think of a man who, his life was just a roller coaster of events. His life just seemed to go up and down. He was sold by his brothers, but yet God raised him back up and he became part of Potiphar's house. And then he was thrown into jail, and then he was made the overseer of the jail. And then he was left there for 2 years. And then he was finally made second in command over all of Egypt. His life was just an emotional roller coaster. But yet he always stayed true to God. He always stayed true to God. Even when his brothers came to him, he didn't harm them in any way. And even with his father dying and his brothers were scared, he said, "Don't worry. You meant this evil for me, for evil. God intended it for good." This is a man who always had God on his mind. And I also think about David. Again, a character that we're all familiar with, that we can see fully demonstrated his life and fully committed his life to God. That's not saying he didn't mess up, as we're all aware. But I am saying that even when he messed up, his life was still committed to God. Well, I said, I want to suggest three different kinds of people tonight. And there's that last one that I think the people are just 50-50. The people who say, my life is just, I live for God. I live to worship God and to worship His Son because I know the sacrifice He made for me. And I love God and I've fully committed my life to Him. But yet there's times when they could care less about all that. And they have that other attitude of, well, there's other things that I'd like to be doing as well. Do we know people like that? I think of Solomon. Read with me in 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Starting in verse 4, it says, "For it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not fully follow the Lord as his father David did. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the Ammonition of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burn incense and sacrifice to their God." Here we see Solomon, the man that was chosen to build God's temple. The man that we look at and we see, that is a man of God. This is Solomon, the son of David. But yet he was persuaded differently. In just the few verses before, in verse 3, it says he had 700 wives. And we just read, "And so he did likewise for all of his wives, all of his foreign wives." He built temples for these gods and goddesses that weren't the true God. I think of the rich young ruler. Again, another familiar character to all of us. Someone who approached Jesus and said, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Follow all the commandments." And he lists all the commandments. And the rich young ruler says, "But I've followed all these since my youth." This man was a man, he wanted to follow Christ. He says, "But I've done that, Lord. I've been there. I've done that. I've followed your commandments, and I've followed the commandments your father has given me. What else do I have to do?" And when God said, or when Jesus said, "Go sell all your possessions, give them to the poor, and come and follow me," he wasn't willing to do that. He was so willing to follow Christ until something better came up. Until he had to sell his riches. And he didn't want to do that. I'm sure we can find many other examples in scriptures and in our lives today of people who are just 50-50. They say they follow Christ and they say they want to, but when it really comes down to it, they have a hard time accepting some things and they don't really want to take that last step. Or if you have taken the step of baptism and you are a child of God, you can still be like that. So many of us call ourselves Christians. But yet, we lead a double life sometimes, don't we? We lead a life that here with maybe the people at this congregation in Valrico and people at other congregations around this area, they know us as a godly person. And we're a Christian, and they, you know, we just have so many good traits. But then we get away from these people. We get away from these friends. And we're around people at school. Or around people at work. And we tend to be just a completely different person. I think, sadly, most of us fall into this category. I'd like to think that this room is full of people who fully commit themselves to God. But I know, sadly, many of us fall into that 50-50 category. And why? What makes us that 50-50? We might say things like, well, I'm too tired to put God first today. I'm too tired to go to church. I'm too tired to go help this person. And maybe it's because, well, you're too busy. I'm way too busy. I don't have enough time. I have school to go to, and after school I have work. And after work there's homework. Or maybe you're just at work all day, you work long hours, and there's just not enough time in the day to be that godly person that you just really want to be. Or you might say something like, everyone else is doing it. I see other people around me, other of my friends, who just kind of go back and forth. Everyone else doesn't really put their perspective straight. And everyone else goes out and they do what they want to do. So why can't I? We might tell ourselves, but I'm having fun right now. I like where I'm at in my life. And I'm having fun. Yeah, I go to church. And I worship with the people there, and I like to think I'm pretty godly, but then there's other things that, frankly, I just want to do for myself. And I'm having fun with them right now. Or we might say, I'm still young, and God will be there later. Have you told yourself that, or have heard anyone say that before? In high school, my friend said that all the time. Whenever I try to talk with him about Christ and about the Scriptures, they say, listen, I'm just having fun right now, which is the last one we just talked about. I'm just having fun right now, and they'll combine it with, God will be there later. I'm young right now. I'm having fun while I can, and God will be there when I can get around to him. And some of us might have that same attitude. Or what about, it's just not important right now. There's other things in my life that might be more important than God right now. I have a couple kids, and I have to work and so I can support my family. I have to finish school. My job is just really taking over my life right now, so I just, church and God just really isn't important right now. These are all things that we tell ourselves. All things that we say that take us away from having that relationship with God and that put us closer to having that relationship with the world. And lastly, you might just say, I'm stuck in a rut right now. It might not be your fault. That you're just, where you are in your life, you might just be stuck in a rut. Do we know what that phrase means? I never knew what that meant until I got out here to Florida and I heard about mudding. I don't know if anyone in here goes mudding, but I had never been mudding before, and all my friends, my freshman year here, said, hey, we're all going to go mudding, you should come. And I said, that sounds pointless. But then I realized what that phrase really meant as soon as I got out there. As these trucks and everything's going through this mud, it creates these ruts in the mud. And if too many trucks keep going over the same spot, these ruts get bigger and bigger and bigger until one truck goes through and it gets stuck. And it's stuck in these ruts, and no matter how hard you try, you can't get it out. And you have to get another truck to come pull it out, and it was a big fiasco, and I said, I'm never going mudding again. This is pointless. That's an example of it right there. You can just see that guy's not having a very good day. He's just He's just stuck in a rut.
Our lives happen the same exact way, don't they?
We just find ourselves getting into this routine over and over and over again, and when it really comes down to it, before we know it, we're just stuck in a rut. And we're stuck in this routine, and we just can't get out of it no matter how hard we try.
I want to suggest three things tonight that will get us out of this rut, that will get us out of this 50-50 limbo, and get us back to being friends with God.
Get us back to that relationship with God where we all need to be. Three very quick things to get back on track. Number one is simply just thank God for everything. I don't want to say, you know, it kind of sounds redundant when people just say, just pray. Always keep praying, and we should, and I don't want to take anything away from it. But simply throughout your day, just take a minute and say, thank you, God. Which, yes, technically that's a prayer. But just take a second out of your day to say, look at all you have and say, thank you. That's so simple to do, but yet so hard to apply.
We sang the song this morning, and it brought back memories because my dad used to lead the song all the time, and I loved it. It was one of my favorite songs growing up. We sang the song, Count Your Many Blessings.
Such an old song, but the message from that song is very simple. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. I challenge each one of us to go home tonight and to write down each one of our blessings. You'll probably fill up one page and decide to stop because you'll either run out of room, you'll run out of time. There's just no way to count every single one of your blessings. But how hard is it to just take a second and to stop everything you're doing in your life and to just thank you, God? Why do I have to get up at 5 a.m. to go to work every day? Why do I have to stay till 5 or 6 every night? It's just getting me in this rut. Instead of looking at the negative of all these things that we have to do, of all these things that are just taking up our time, we can just stop and say, I'm thankful that I have a job. I'm thankful that I have somewhere I can go for 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day, and make money so that I can support my family, so that I can support myself. I'm thankful that I have a school to go to where I can get an education. We talked about in the high school class today this poem, and I couldn't find it, and I wanted to so bad. I searched all afternoon for it. And it goes along the lines of, if you have shoes on your feet, you're more well off than 90% of the world. And if you have food on your plate at dinner time, you have more food than 75% of the world. And it keeps going and going and all these different things. But that just shows you that all these little things that we have in our lives, we take for granted. We need to be able to look at these things, something as simple as shoes, and say, thank you. Something like a job, something like your school, something like your house, and say, thank you. Because other people aren't as blessed. They don't have these same blessings as I do. And when we take time to thank God for all these little things in our lives, it's putting them right there where it needs to be, right in the front of our mind. To where we can stop being friends with this world and realize that we wouldn't have this world unless God was involved in it. Number two is make God your friend. Make God your friend. Again, James wrote to his readers and said, if you're friends with the world, you are an enemy of God. I'll tell you, we have records and we have accounts in the Old Testament of what God did to his enemies. And I guarantee you that not one of us would want to be on that side. Not one of us would want to be on the opposite side when it comes
to God. We see the consequences that different nations had to go through, that these people that tormented God's people had to go through, and it's because they were friends of this world and not friends of God. I've used this illustration here before. I want to use it again. If I had to tell you to think of your best friend, who would they be? I want you to think of who you think your best friends are. Now answer the question, why is that person, why are those few people your best friends? And I guarantee everyone's answer will be the same. Because that one person, these few people, are the people that are there for me no matter what. They are the people that if I need to call someone at 3 a.m., they will answer the phone. They won't look at caller ID and put it back down and talk to you in the morning. Those are the people that if you ever need anything, they will be right there for you. That you can talk to about anything. That you can go to for advice. And they'll help you out in times of need. We need to make God that kind of friend. We need to make God the friend that whenever we're in trouble in our lives, whenever we find ourselves in a rut, or whenever we find ourselves becoming friends of the world, we can call on Him at 3 a.m. in the morning, and we can say, I need help. And no matter what, God will be there every single time to help us through whatever we're going through. And that is very important to know. And the third thing we need to do to get back on track is to truly, truly repent. True forgiveness comes from God. So many times we find our things doing wrong and we say, well, it's not that bad. I don't really need to ask for forgiveness for this. There's worse things I could be doing. That's absolutely false. Whenever we find ourselves doing wrong, whenever we find ourselves pulling away from God and going towards the friendliness of this world, we need to really look at God and say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for what I've done. I need you. I need to commit to you, not to the world. And only through God can we get that true forgiveness. It's easy to, in person, ask for forgiveness. It's easy to come forward and to say, I've committed this sin and I need prayers. It's easy to say something like that. But it doesn't work unless you absolutely mean it. Unless you absolutely open up your heart and say, I have done wrong. I have fallen away from you, God. I have done things that you told me never to do. Please forgive me. And the only person that will know if you're really getting true forgiveness is yourself and God. Have we asked for forgiveness? I want to read one last verse to you. It comes from 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. I want to ask you tonight, have we become friends with this world? Have we become so attached to the world that's around us that when it truly comes time to give everything up, we're not ready to do so? That's a serious question that all of us need to ask. Are we going to be like the rich young ruler that when it's time to go and sell all of our possessions, when it's time to give everything away and follow Christ, will we follow? Or will we be the one that says, I don't think I'm ready yet. There's still so much here on this earth that I haven't done yet. And there's so many things I have that I don't want to give up. I heard this the other day. Have you ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? You've never seen it before. You will never see a hearse pulling the U-Haul because that person that's dead inside that hearse doesn't need any more of his stuff. Are we so attached to this world that when it comes time to say bye to this earth here and say hello to our Father in heaven that we're not ready to go yet because we still have too many things to do here and we still have too many things that we don't want to give up yet? Or have we fully committed ourselves to God? Have we made friends with God and not of this world? I hope that the answer, and everyone's answer, will be that you are friends with God. That this earth means nothing to you. And that you want to be at that greater home. I ask if there's anyone here tonight who is a friend of this world, who hasn't chosen to be a friend with God yet. They haven't chosen to fully commit their lives to God yet. The waters of baptism are ready. And there's people that are here that are more than willing to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit right now. So that you can turn away from the friendliness of this world and go to God our Father. Or is there someone here tonight that used to have that friendship with God and you gave it up? You gave it up so that you can have your possessions here, so that you can carry on your sinful lives. Again, we're ready and willing to pray with you and to get you back on that right track, get you out of that rut, so that you also may have that chance at eternal life in heaven with our Father. If there's anything we can do for you, please come forward as we stand, as we sing.